Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another fun episode of the Big Move podcast. I am your host, Em, from the beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. Today, I am sitting here with the lovely, lovely Cher Webb. Cher is one of the UK's best-known celebrity makeup artists. Her career started as part of the pro makeup artist team at MAC, and she has worked with the likes of Grace Jones, Tilda Swinton, and Helen Mirren. She has over 160,000 loyal followers on her Instagram account, a monthly beauty column with Marie Claire UK, and has partnered as a beauty ambassador for amazing brands like Givenchy and Elemis.
Hey, Em.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for coming over. We're sitting here in my flat.
Sunshine apartment in yes. W1, I have to say. This is absolutely gorgeous.
We were just talking about that. She said zone one, and I'm like, W1.
Yeah, I'm in zone one. Four.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Well, just to put it into perspective.
To put it into context.
Yeah.
So to provide a little bit of background for the audience on how you and I know each other.
I feel like I've known you for years because I've followed you for such a long time.
I know.
We actually met 2 or 3 months ago.
Yes.
In the flesh.
Yes, in the flesh. I feel like, right, we essentially met through Instagram.
It was Instagram.
But you did a really cool nail collab with Townhouse Nails, which
so
is a really beautiful Instagrammable nail salon in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
And you did a nail art collab, which
for
was
Valentine's Day.
And
there was like 3 different designs. What one did you go for? Do you have love on your
Yes,
hand?
I did. I loved it because it was so subtle and I did that little gold heart
on
accent.
Your thumbs. Yeah,
yes.
I had that as well.
We got
so
the same
just
one.
So kind of like a hint of something, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I loved that so much.
Yeah. So it was so exciting when you walked in because I was like, oh my God, I know you already, but even though we hadn't actually met. It's weird how social media does that.
Yeah, I know. It's really crazy.
And then
now I've just been following your amazing beauty content and you focus so much on lipstick too, which I can't wait to get into.
Well, I've got my lippy on today purely for you.
Yes.
Like I'm wearing a really bright pink, Fire It Up, it's called.
Fire Up.
All Fired Up from MAC, sorry. And I wore this especially for you today.
I love
it. Because you are the lip queen.
Yes.
Come on.
I would have guessed that was a MAC color too, based off of what I see on your Instagram. And
yeah.
I can just tell. Got that
I know
sense
there's something
now.
About the MAC lipsticks,
yeah,
isn't there?
Of course. Okay, cool. We'll get into a couple quick fun icebreaker questions. So what are the first 3 things that you do when you get up in the morning?
Okay, so the first thing I do is I actually go to the bathroom and I drink a pint of water. And I didn't used to do that, but I read that Rosie Huntington-Whiteley did that. And I thought, that's the most genius thing ever, because before your body has a chance to really wake up, let's get some natural fluids in you. So a pint of water, I turn the radio on,
okay,
and I don't check social media, I check my emails.
Okay.
I don't drink coffee,
like
so I kind of, if I drank coffee, I'll probably do that as my third thing, but I don't drink coffee.
Okay, you don't drink coffee. How about tea?
I don't. I love tea.
Okay.
Herbal teas, but I wish I liked the taste of coffee because I want to experience that rush.
Yeah.
I've never had that rush from coffee. I don't like the taste of it, unfortunately.
Honestly, you're better off. It gives you that jolt and it's not always a good one. I feel like I'm a little bit sensitive to caffeine, but I'm addicted to it.
I'd quite like to have that addiction. Just a little bit. Just, you know, when you're at Fashion Week, it's 5 a.m. and everyone's like, I can't run without my coffee. Whereas I'm like waiting for the Diet Cokes. When's it acceptable to have a Diet Coke? Let's be honest. I'd have one at 10 a.m. if I could, but it's a bit... It's about like having an alcoholic drink, isn't it?
Yeah, I totally hear that. On that note, second icebreaker question. What is your go-to alcoholic beverage?
Without a doubt, 100% Aperol Spritz.
Oh my God, yes.
Summer, winter, spring, whatever. It looks great. It tastes great. I don't get a hangover from it. And I've become really particular about how it's made because I like how a certain way of like the Aperol has to have enough in there. And sometimes you go to bars and they're using their little measures. And I'm like, come on, just free pour, babes. Come on.
Yeah, I'm so with you. And when it's too much, it's too sweet. It's like that fine line there.
Yeah, it has to be right. And loads of ice.
Yes.
One cube of ice. I'm like, this can't be right.
Yeah. And it's just about spritz season.
What's
you must
yours?
Be quite pleased. Mine, I'm a tequila girl.
Are you?
Yes. So
hardcore.
I
love it.
I usually go for a marg or just a tequila cocktail. As long as it's refreshing, I don't really care. And it's not too sweet, I'm in for it.
I love it. Do you get a hangover from them?
So not if I'm...
Because tequila for me, I think of shots, then I think of hangovers. But then if you're doing it for the margarita, it's different.
Yeah, no, not if I'm going for a nicer, more top shelf tequila, then I'm set. But yeah, you got to be careful with that. That's for sure.
Right.
Yeah, totally. 100%. Okay, cool. So I want to just get into your background as like a general intro. So where are you originally from?
I'm from Southampton, so 2 hours out of London. Okay. And I go home to my mum's maybe once every 6 weeks, and more if I can. I love going home.
That sounds like the perfect balance.
Yeah, it's nice to get out of London, and it's only 2 hours, which feels like sometimes it takes me 2 hours to get into London with a commute. So,
yeah,
you know, 2 hours is good.
Absolutely. And then now you said you live in zone four. What is zone four?
I live in zone three, actually. It's okay. East Dulwich. So it's like, okay, you get to London Bridge and you take a train 12 minutes to East Dulwich, and it's a lovely villagey vibe.
Okay.
It's quite yummy mummyville. Okay. So sometimes I go to like Brixton or Peckham to get a bit of, you know, I don't know, edge, because East Dulwich is everyone's drinking organic apple juice and, you know, bugaboos, all that kind of thing. So sometimes you're just a bit more of a cooler vibe. I go to Peckham.
Okay. And then you live there with your partner.
My fiancé. Yeah.
That's right. You're engaged.
We're engaged. We got engaged last March, which is so nice. So no wedding plans as yet, but we're trying for a baby at the moment. So fingers crossed.
That's really exciting news.
Thank you. Yeah.
Are you so excited?
Yeah, I'm so excited because I will talk about Mac in a little while, because I spent 14 years with them. And then I didn't really think about babies while I was there because I was so busy. And then making the transition to kind of do my own thing, I'm now like, actually, I want to be a mum. I'm at the stage where I'm ready. And so leaving that job has opened up so many opportunities and also windows of me growing as a person. I was stuck in a bubble for such a long time.
Yeah.
And it's just the right thing now.
Oh my God, that's so exciting.
14 years. It's a long time in your 20s and 30s to kind of go, you know, to be in one place.
Yeah.
Although I was traveling all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, let's just get right into your sort of like career trajectory and your sort of background. But I want to back up a little bit because you have a really impressive arts background. So you had told me you're a trained dancer.
Yeah.
And you were a cabaret
singer and dancer.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's like...
I danced since I was like 5 years old, and I still got all of my costumes.
Okay.
And like the ones from when I was about 14, I can still kind of stretch into them. So every dinner party, the costumes come out, and to be honest, they're all a bit ropey now. They stink. Like, you know, can you imagine all my friends like, let's get the outfits out. But I mean, I still look at them as like, I won this competition in that one. I won this competition in that one. But yeah, I danced from the age of 5 until I was 18.
Oh, wow.
And then went professional and did, I was like a holiday entertainer where I'd look after the kids in the daytime and do cabarets in the evening. And then I went to Portugal for a year and Spain for a year. And I was a cabaret act and I'd sing and dance. And then for 2 years, I was a magician's assistant.
Oh my gosh. Stop. You're
bending
like,
as we speak. You might find me like in some sort of contortion in your oven in a minute.
That's insane. Like jack of all trades.
Yeah. So I was holding like snakes every night, like massive, massive pythons going into the audience with these big snakes. Like Britney Spears back in the day when she had that big yellow one was kind of like my goals, but it didn't look like anything like that, to be honest.
Stop. Right. I
was in like Spain, like with all the holiday
the
makers.
The boa constrictor. Like, yeah. Was that scary? That's insane.
The first time I was like, is this all right? And then by the end of the 2 years, I kind of slung it around my neck and off I went, and everyone's getting pictures with you with it. So,
oh my gosh.
I just did so many different jobs before getting into makeup.
Yeah. So it sounds like you always had that creative side then. You sort of have always been in the arts. And then, so how did you get into makeup?
Well, from a really young age at the competitions, dance competitions, you could do whatever you wanted. So I had like fake tan, hair in rollers from like the age of 6. Not quite pageant, but you know, you had that expression, you could do whatever you want. Yeah. And when I got to like 16, I left school and did a beauty therapy course, and makeup was only 6 weeks of the course, but I had to do like waxing, lash tinting, all of that kind of stuff first. But the makeup was what I wanted to do, but I didn't know about MAC at that time. Where I'm from, there was no counters apart from maybe like Clinique, but I was like, it's too sciencey with the lab jackets and stuff. I didn't want to be on a counter.
Okay.
So I came back from traveling and I met a girl on Ibiza, and she was like, you need to come to work at MAC. So she gave me one day a week. I left Southampton for the big smoke with all my stuff for one day a week at MAC. I thought I'd made it. Well, I had made it in my mind, but then I was absolutely broke. So I had to waitress at Wagamama's full time, 6 days a week to fund my rent.
Okay.
And I worked at MAC that one day, and it kind of built up from there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And so how long were you at Mac? And you sort of worked your way up, right?
Yeah,
you
started on the shop floor, okay, literally. And I learned everything on the shop floor. Worked at Selfridges for about 9 months. And that's where I learned my speed, my technique, and like every different walk of life was coming through that door. So you had to be on point. You had to know what you were doing.
Yeah.
And then I started doing Fashion Week. And then I started doing like the BAFTAs and award kind of like ceremonies. And then it kind of grew from there. And I was senior artist, which is like an ambassador role for 8 years.
Oh, wow.
But I was traveling 70% of the year. So I was away. I'd had no boyfriend, no pets, nothing.
So when you came in, what was your, like, what's sort of the trajectory from
retail artist?
Okay. And then you
then
sort
events
of,
team.
Okay. Got
and
it.
And then senior artist.
Ah.
So it was kind of like you had to throw yourself into any situation. I was hungry for it. I was so up for it, but there was no social media at that time. That's kind of come way, way later.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. And then so what made you leave that role? And when did you leave that role?
I left this time last year.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So March 2018.
Okay.
And I had a bit of a like journey with social media where I was doing makeup on other people and videoing it. And then one day someone said, you need to do one on yourself. And I was in New York staying at this hotel and I did the most makeshift like tutorial that I've ever done. When I watch it, I cringe because I just think the lighting's so bad. I used about 500 products. It was just a bit like, ooh.
Yeah.
And it's still to this day the most viewed tutorial that I've ever created.
That's crazy. Is that on YouTube? Where
it's
is
on
that?
Instagram.
On Instagram,
and
okay.
I posted it and I was so nervous. I was thinking, I'm putting myself out there. You know, and at that time, I felt like I was a little bit older than the other makeup artists that were on Instagram.
Sure.
Not the millennial side, kind of like going to more like your mid-30s.
Right.
And it got 500,000 hits. And I was like, okay, so that was my aha moment where I kind of thought, right, I need to start doing this. And then having the platform like Instagram, it kind of gave me the confidence to leave Mac because I knew that there was opportunities out there, but
definitely,
you don't know of these opportunities until you leave.
Right.
And that's what I want to say on this as well. If you're thinking about leaving the corporate world, you'll never know how much is out there until you make that leap.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. That's incredible though. So that, right. And especially, I guess, at that time too, for social media, getting that many hits, especially too, like it was like a feed post, right? So it was a video on your, that lived on your feed.
Exactly.
It's insane. So,
yeah, so I kind of, after that, just hammered the videos back to back. And that's kind of how I, my progression grew from that, really.
Yeah. And so you sort of just transformed into this really like a beauty influencer in many senses. So do you consider yourself a makeup artist or more of a beauty influencer now? Like sort of how are you, I guess,
yes.
I hate to say labeling yourself, but how do you sort of view yourself now?
I still want the makeup artistry to be my number one thing because what I think sometimes on Instagram, there's so many, let's say, makeup artists who haven't had the experience and all the kind of level of, I don't know, experience that I've had for all those years. So I want for makeup artistry to be my number one. And then the influencer side is definitely comes hand in hand with that. But I want to be seen as still a makeup artist, really.
Yeah, that's so fair. Because it was like your original craft and where your talents lie. And it's sort of, now the lines are sort of blurred.
Yes, definitely. And I get invited to things and I'm like, do I need my kit?
Yeah.
Like, no, it's a dinner. I'm like, oh, okay, lovely. Like, it's just such a treat to actually go on these lovely PR dinners and things and press meals and not have to do makeup sometimes.
Yeah,
it's lovely.
Definitely. I want to get into that too because I know you have a highlight just for your kit. And it's such a makeup.
I want to see what's in your makeup bag.
Thing.
I'd love to see your lipstick collection.
We need to like do a swap sometime.
Definitely.
So what would you say are sort of like the challenges and also benefits to leaving that sort of more corporate position in beauty and then to now where you're ultimately freelance working for yourself?
Okay, so I think one of the scariest things is when you're with corporate, like in the corporate world, you have holiday pay, you have sick pay, you have, you know, that monthly salary coming in. And because it's the unknown, no one can ever tell you how successful you're going to be until you leave. But what I will say is get as much experience as you can in the corporate world because there's so many business things that I've learned that I now keep with me. One of the challenges that I find is that before I had someone that was making my schedule for me, whereas now I kind of like have to really make myself do lots of things in a day. Otherwise I'm working till like midnight or work in the weekends. I have to really structure my days. Whereas before it was all done for me.
Yeah.
So my boyfriend really helps with that. He's like, right, babes, it's Monday. What have you got planned? And I'm like, well, I'm going to do a tutorial. And then I've got a coffee meeting at 4:00. He's like, you've got to fit at least 5 more things around that. Otherwise you're going to be working all night. So whereas I'm like kind of taking it really breezy.
Yep.
So that's quite hard. Really motivate yourself to do stuff and keep on it. Whereas I quite like the fact that I had, you know, someone sort of tell me like, come on, this has to be in a deadline. Let's say I'm basically creating my own deadlines, but I know I can swerve them if I need to. So I've had to really work on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it really just takes time. Like you have to create structure for yourself, but it doesn't come easy.
Exactly.
Did you find really it easy? Work in
Did you
progress?
Find like day to day?
So I was in digital media before this when I was in New York for 6 years and I worked in startups and I had that structure and I was in an office, although it was a bit more flexible. It wasn't super corporate in any of those roles, but it was, you know, structure. It was 9 to 6, 9 to 7, whatever you want to call it.
At an
call
office.
And an office with your team, with other people. And yeah, I think it just took time. So I had that sort of transition period, which was nice. It was sort of that buffer period from when I moved to New York and had left my job, moved over here, transitioned, and then decided to go blogging full time. But I feel like it took like almost a year to just like get in a really good groove, build a network and that kind of thing. So
yeah, I'm a year in as well. Just feel like I'm finally getting my groove.
Yeah.
It does take a while. And I was kind of just having a big holiday for a lot of the time.
Yeah.
When I first left Mac, I was like, yeah, this is it. Holly Bob's great life. And I thought, actually, I need to start like focusing a little bit here. Do you know what I mean?
I couldn't agree more. Do you have any sort of like top tips or specific like business advice for someone maybe who's like looking to go completely freelance and maybe was in a similar position as you?
I think as soon as you start to feel that itch of like, you know, when you feel that feeling of like, I'm over this, like go with your heart with that. Because I think for 2 years I knew that I wanted to leave, but just didn't take that plunge. I actually got a life coach and I had weekly sessions for 4 months. And every time we had this Skype session, we would do vision boards. And I've still got vision boards in my kitchen. And I change it weekly to different things. And a lot of the things, like the Marie Claire thing was on there.
Yep.
I've got the baby on there. I've got the ring on there. I've got all different like work things on there. And all of them have come true because I think you manifest stuff that you actually visualize and see all the time. So life coaching would be something that I would 100% recommend.
I love that tip. So how did you find your life coach?
She's actually a really good friend of mine. She's doing so well. And she does it. She lives in Scotland and we just Skype once a week. So I can leave her details with you.
That's amazing.
She's amazing. It's an hour session and it goes like so quickly. And you just write lists of like your objectives and you just tick things off as you go.
Oh, wow.
Really and achievable things as well.
Where is she based?
In Edinburgh.
Okay, cool. You're the second person that has said that they speak with a life coach and it's all over Skype and it's remote. I feel like that makes it so much easier.
It's accessible and easy. You haven't got to turn up somewhere. It can be any time that suits both of you. And as long as you've got a pen and pad and just write your stuff down. And I have one now every month just to kind of keep me boosted. And I look back at the old ones and we sort of go back and go, remember those things that you wanted that you're achieving now? Remember that you've achieved those things.
Yeah.
So yeah, so life coaching is definitely one thing I would definitely recommend. But also go with your gut when you're ready to leave. Remember that feeling's happening for a reason.
Yeah.
So it's time to start planning. Don't just leave. Have a plan in action of what you're going to do before you actually go.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like there's more and more, I think, women making that transition to going out on their own, starting their own businesses, especially now, lately.
Absolutely.
It's such a
I find it so empowering.
Trend.
I'm like, yes, do it.
Me
do
too.
It.
Me too.
Be your own boss. It is the most liberating feeling ever.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. So kind of switching gears a little bit, I'm dying to know, like, what celebrities have you worked on? And can you share that? Like, is
that
allowed?
Yeah, of course I can. Do you know what? I love working with, like, I'm so into music. Like, I love music. My dad's a drummer.
Yeah.
So I was always brought up with music and going to gigs. So for me to be doing makeup on, like, a music person is, like, my biggest thing. And so I did Rita Ora's UK tour.
I love her.
I know. I live with her on the bus.
She's amazing.
And she's wild. So this is maybe 5 years ago. Okay. So we had so much fun. Also, I've done makeup for Steven Tyler quite a few times.
No way.
From Aerosmith, yeah. And he's mental. Like, he's so fun, but he's so sweet. And what a lot of the time that I've realized is with these, I did makeup for Blondie as well. A lot of these, like, rock and rollers are now on, like, the tail end of their kind of, like, career, and they're much more, they're very sweet. Whereas I want them to be doing like going crazy and like smashing guitars around the hotel room, but they're all meditating and they've all got incense sticks burning. It's all very calming. Yeah, whereas I'm like, come on, go nuts.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Such a change from what you see, you know, especially with these recent Netflix release like Bohemian Rhapsody.
And the Motley Crue one. Yeah. Did you watch that?
Yes, I did.
Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue was over a month ago and I was working with him for 2 days when he had press trips. And again, he was phoning his wife, was like, hey honey, like she's pregnant. He's like 60. I think she's like 30.
Oh my gosh.
And he again was the sweetest guy to work with.
Wow.
And I was expecting to turn up and you kind of expect the worst sometimes. You sort of think, I wonder if they're going to just be like hungover or haven't slept, or it's complete opposite.
Yeah.
Been up, been running, you know, had a great breakfast and then the day just is so smooth.
Wow. So with these celebs and you're doing their makeup and they're sort of used to a certain look, like how do you go about doing their face? Like, do you talk about what you're going to go with? Are some of them like, oh, just do whatever you
generally
feel?
Generally, they know what they want. And okay. So with like Helen Mirren, she was up for an award in Poland for the European Film Awards. So I knew that she had the dress ready. She had everything ready. And so as soon as I went in, I want a dark lip. You need to make sure my eyebrows are like this and this foundation. And I like being told that because you learn so much.
Right.
You can never go in and go, well, actually, I think you're going to suit this, because they know that, you know, we all know our face better than anybody else.
That's so true.
And sometimes I even say, look, can you do your mascara? Just you do your lashes, because no one can ever really do their lashes the same as, you know, how you really like it.
Yeah.
And I might top it up a little bit.
Totally.
But she's someone who I really learned from. And Grace Jones, because she was like so specific and so much color and vibrance and glitter. And she was actually naked when I did her makeup. And you're completely naked, starkers. And she's like, darling, put oil all over my body and just blow red glitter all over me. So then the whole backstage was just sparkling. Like I had glitter in my kit for like years after it.
Oh my gosh.
And my brushes and everything. But at the moment she said it, I did it. And she looked great on stage. But then everything was trashed backstage. But it was great. And then like Florence and the Machine, I've worked with her like lots of times.
Oh,
and she'd always be like, come to the side of the stage and like, actually, in case I need anything. She never ever needed anything, but I could see exactly what she could see at a festival, and that rush of when she first comes on and she's jumping around the stage. And
she's like the fiery red hair.
Fiery red hair. And she's, her voice is just, I've got goosebumps thinking about
it. I hear she's an incredible performer.
Unbelievable.
And I think she's doing Hyde Park this
year. She's doing Hyde Park, exactly.
Oh my God,
you probably hear it from here, babes.
No kidding.
Get their windows open. Florence is live.
Yeah, it's true. We could hear a couple years ago, I forget
Fleetwood
what artist.
Mac are playing this year too.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Okay.
I'd love to do Stevie Nicks. I've got a list of people and she's on there.
Yeah.
Stevie Nicks, Joanna Lumley. I'd love to do her makeup as well.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so exciting though. And then, okay, so you also have a monthly column on Marie Claire UK. Is that right? And so where does that live? Is that on their website?
It's on their website.
Okay.
Yes, online. But then I do lots of different quotes for different things to them throughout the month.
Okay.
But this month I'm working on a piece, which is, what would be your go-to beauty products for desk to dinner in 5 minutes? So what 5 products could you vamp up your look? So it'll be obviously like a lipstick and then maybe an eyeshadow palette with a few colors.
Yeah.
Because people want really simple techniques, and that's what's really working for my Instagram, is that it's all affordable. It's a mix of drugstore and luxury, and it's all stuff that you can just do yourself.
Yep.
Nothing's going to be like too many things, no cut creases on my channel.
Yeah. And I feel like you need a mix. That's such a good approach. And then, so are you going to do social promotion too around the articles, like with like video and stuff? I feel like.
Yeah, little videos. And I'll do maybe like how to's on my stories. And then,
cool.
Always trying to back it up as well.
That's a really good way to like incorporate that.
Absolutely.
So continuing on the makeup track, I feel like I have so many questions for you. You
are
such the expert. So I feel like, judging by your Instagram too and seeing how much you post about skincare, and you know how huge I am
on
skincare.
Your skin now. So your skin's amazing.
Thank you.
And your highlights like bouncing, whatever that is. What is that?
I think I just have my little like, I have a Kosas creamy highlighter palette. I'll have to show you it.
They're, it sits like, so nicely on you. It's
cruelty free. I just, for daytime, I just do like a little dab with my fingers. But I love the highlighter. Highlighter all day for me.
Like, yeah, but even your skin itself is like one big highlighter. It looks so glowy.
Thank you. I just had a facial. That's probably why, honestly.
I saw on your stories yesterday. Yes. That looked gorgeous. Who was that with again?
Renee Lapino. She'll be on my podcast, actually. She gives some great like skincare tips and stuff. But she is based in Notting Hill. So she opened her own skin clinic. And she's great. She does more medical approach, results-driven facials. She's great if you have like a very specific goal in mind.
Okay, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
So with that, I feel like you and I can agree, like having skin that is the foundation is so, so important. So why is it from your perspective to have like the best base to work with before you do your makeup?
Before anything else, if your skin's looking good, then everything else just falls into place. And I think because my makeup like history is quite fashion based for models on the runway, we tend to do a lot of skin, which is just the most minimal makeup, and getting that right is so hard. So making sure that you've got enough skincare, lip balms, serums, all of that kind of thing, and really looking after your skin. I think people are more obsessed with skin now than ever before. And when I do like a makeup questions on Instagram, mm-hmm. it's the number one thing is, what do you use at night? What skincare shall I use if I have this skincare problem, or, you know, all these different things. It's all mainly skin focused.
Yeah.
Because it's an influx of skin products, I think, at the moment, especially with your acids and your retinols and all that kind of stuff, all these buzzwords flying around. It's so knowing much. What way you go to, which yeah. direction you go in.
Yeah.
But I think it's got to be what works for you. Don't just try a product because your best friend's using it, because your skin is completely different.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, I mean, it's overwhelming for us, and we sort of are around it all the time. We're always trying new products and we're getting introduced to these brands. But especially if you're not into it, it's like, how do you eat? I don't even know how you would start
incorporate
out,
it. But how do you start? Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy, but that's why we're here.
Exactly.
So what is the best skincare routine for, say, prepping your face for a long night out?
So before a night out, okay, so make sure you've exfoliated, and not with something that's going to make you really red. So not like with like a Dennis Gross wipe or something mm-hmm. like that. It has to be a manual one that you actually would put on your skin and do little circular motions. I love the Origins Never a Dull Moment, because it just keeps okay. you really glowy, but you don't take off too much of the top layer of skin, okay. or the Pixi Glow Tonic.
Yes.
Because it's quite gentle.
It is gentle. That's a good one too.
Yeah, and it doesn't leave you red raw after it. So use something like that. Make sure when you moisturize, no, serum first, so a really good like A&R, something like that, advanced night repair, something that's going to really penetrate the skin, but then don't over moisturize, because I think for one night you can just skip moisturizer and over do the serum instead.
Yeah.
And then prep and prime your skin, so make sure you've got a really good primer. Laura Mercier, the foundation primer, is like my number one.
Okay.
I love that.
Good to know.
Do you love that one?
I love Laura Mercier for their tinted moisturizer. For primer, I've been using this NARS primer that has SPF in it. And it definitely keeps things like staying put. So
okay,
currently I'm on that one. But I'll only use it for like a night out is how I feel with primer.
Yeah. Just on a night out only?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you use primer in the daytime?
No, I don't use it during the daytime. I do like a very minimal. I do like sunscreen, of course, like all my skincare. And I'll do like a sunscreen. And then MAC Face and Body, which I've seen you post so much about.
Love.
It. That's like my favorite because it's sheer.
It looks like your real skin, just with like a tiny layer on top.
Yeah,
like
that's
one
why
extra
I love
layer
it.
Of skin.
So
it's
good.
The most authentic foundation in my kit.
Yeah.
Because I've got like the kind of ones that last for hours and hours and hours.
I'm sure.
But that one does last. It's waterproof as well. And on your body, it's amazing.
I've never
when
put
you get
it on
your
my
legs
body.
Out for the first time, look at my ankles, pasty white ones.
Yeah,
if
same,
you just
same.
Literally get a bit of face and body, two shades darker than your skin tone, and rub it in, and it's waterproof. So
oh,
it stays
that's
on.
Genius.
It doesn't like come off in your clothes.
Okay.
It's great.
I'm on that. I don't know why I haven't thought of that for a specialty
arms,
for shoots
for
and
backs,
stuff.
Everything like that. For
so
brides,
good.
I use it all the time for arms and things.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so face and body is great. So yeah, so your serums, moisturizers, and primers.
Okay.
And then just make sure with your foundation that you're not going for something that's too slippy on your skin. Because if you want it to last the whole night, something with some staying power would be great.
Okay,
even
cool.
something waterproof.
Perfect. And then what are your favorite skincare brands?
So I do love, okay, there's so many here. Elemis I love. It's like my number one. I say that, but there's going to be like five number ones. I love La Mer, but sometimes I like to mix like the Renewal Oil with other products. But I wouldn't use La Mer all the time, day and night, because it's quite rich. Dr. Dennis Gross is his hyaluronic moisturizer cushion, I think it's called, the Moisture Cushion Moisturizer, has changed my skin within three weeks. And people are like, your skin's really hydrated looking. It's quite sort of plump looking. So I've started using that and I love it.
Okay, amazing.
Shiseido as well. I do love the eye cream.
Oh, I've been dying to try Shiseido.
Beautiful. It's all anything's Japanese, like in terms of skincare. Yep. They're so advanced that they use about 10 products before makeup, skincare wise.
That's so insane.
That's a lot, isn't it? So imagine how, maybe 3 eye creams, 3 serums.
Okay. And then we talked about MAC, but so for really good foundation or just makeup in general, is MAC your go-to?
Like MAC I'm so familiar with it.
Yeah, like, of course.
For so many, it's like part of my family. But then leaving MAC, there are so many other brands like NARS. I absolutely love NARS. And that's another makeup brand with like your palette, so you can actually buy singular things.
Yeah.
But also NYX Cosmetics. If you're looking for something a little bit cheaper, but the same like selection of foundation shades and glitters and like proper makeup artistry stuff, try NYX.
Yep. I too am a narcissist all the way through.
Do you love NARS?
I do. I feel like they just do it. They do face so well, like with their foundations and then Laguna bronzer and their blush.
NARS Orgasm Blush. I've got in my bag all the time. And their lipsticks. I love the lipsticks.
Yeah, they're so good. I'm actually wearing a NARS Velvet matte pencil right now.
Oh, I thought it might be the Barbara or Raquel.
Oh.
You tried those. They're nude.
No.
Looks a bit like that.
Ooh.
The pencil ones, the ones you wind up yourself, right?
Yeah. This one's, the shade's like intriguing, I think.
It's really nice.
Thanks.
I want to see it.
Thank you.
What are your views on Charlotte Tilbury's makeup? Because I have quite a lot of her stuff in my kit. Some of it I love, and then some of it I just wouldn't have in my kit. But because she's a makeup artist herself, she knows what people want, so she has nailed it in some ways.
Yes. So I feel like I was behind on the Pillow Talk trend, and I tried the shade. It is a little pink for me, but I do like the formulas. I think they're
not
great.
Too drying her lipsticks. I kind of like the texture of them.
Yeah.
But Red Carpet Red, I think, would be lovely on you.
Oh, I'll try that
it's
one.
It's kind of like a dark classic red.
Okay.
It's not as bright as like your Ruby Woo. It's a little bit darker.
I miss Ruby Woo. I have like every MAC like matte color in the rainbow, and then you misplaced that one
and you're like,
need,
that's the one. Yeah.
And you're like,
and your teeth look so white with it, don't they? It's like, ding.
So what are your favorite lipstick brands then? Let's get right into lipstick.
So it will be, do you know what? I do love Lipstick Queen.
Okay.
I love Lipstick Queen. I love, MAC, NARS, Charlotte Tilbury, Sisley. Sisley do amazing lipsticks. Lafito Rouge.
So funny. I just got introduced to them last night and I'm going to try out this anti-pollution serum. I guess they're really well known for their serums and their skincare.
And their Black Rose masks and all of that. But the cream that you would have seen yesterday is for blue light protection.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things that I think everyone's now starting to freak out. Like, oh my God, we're all using our phones so much and computers.
Yep.
Is there damage happening to our skin? And so that gives you that instant kind of barrier from that protection.
Oh my gosh. Okay,
so
I'm excited to try it.
On.
But I've never tried their makeup. I don't know anything about it.
Lipsticks are amazing.
Oh,
and
wow.
The shapes of them, you almost don't want to use them because they're so cut so beautifully.
Oh, wow.
Same as the NARS limited edition ones when you twist them up and it almost looks like so embossed. It's beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
There's one called Susie that I use on my Instagram all the time. It's actually discontinued, but it's like a really dark burgundy.
Okay, I'm
like
going to try
Sue.
That.
Yeah.
Okay, so when it comes to shades of red, and I get this question too from even just friends that are like, hey, I want to try a red lipstick, but what will go with my skin tone? Can you recommend something more on the cool side or on the warmer side? And obviously I know my skin, so I tend to usually go with warmer colors. But how do you match red to your
different
specific skin tone? What's the best way?
If someone's got a bit of an olivey skin tone, they can actually, the red oranges, like your Lady Danger, would suit like a more olivey skin.
Yep.
If someone's really, really pale, go for something like All Fired Up, like this, or Relentlessly Red.
Right.
Ruby Woo, I have to say, looks great on everyone.
Is that more, that's a universal, or is Ruby Woo shades of blue?
It's got blue undertones.
Okay.
But I kind of feel like that goes with everyone. Olive skin, dark skin, light skin. That kind of goes with every single skin tone. But the Red Carpet Red from Charlotte Tilbury is that kind of a little bit more berry. So I would say go with more fair-skinned blue, kind of blue undertone again.
Okay.
But for olivey skin tones, go for your kind of like orangey reds.
Okay, got it.
And make sure if you're looking for something for your teeth to be really white, then avoid those orangey red ones.
Okay.
It's really funny because I think nowadays there's so many like contradictions of what people should wear, but I think whatever you feel that you want to wear and it suits you, because everyone's eye color is different as well, and the hair color and all that kind of stuff.
That's so true. I was going to say, so it's not like there's necessarily an incorrect shade for you.
Definitely
it's just
not.
All about like trial and error.
Yeah, and try
finding.
Them on.
Yeah.
Actually try them on, because I think trying them on your hand is so different to how it actually looks on your face.
Okay, and now I have to ask about makeup remover. What is your go-to? Because I'm constantly changing my like lip colors from like day to night, and I'm like running around with shoots. Lately, I've been using Avène's makeup remover in micellar water. I do like that, but are there any like wipes?
All the French brands are so gentle, and they are really, really like amazing at taking off makeup. So La Roche-Posay, they have a waterproof remover, and it's half oil, half water.
Oh.
You shake it, and honestly, even the most waterproof lipsticks, do you know the liquid ones you can never get off?
Yes.
Hold it onto a cotton pad onto your lip, and it glides off.
Okay.
So La Roche-Posay.
That's a really good tip. We'll
also
leave
Bioderma
some links
as well.
Bioderma.
Yeah, it's not as... It's a bit more gentle than the La Roche-Posay, but it still does work.
And you can find that at Boots, right?
Boots now, because it used to be just Paris. So we'd all go to Paris and get in the pharmacies and bring it all back.
Okay,
so
amazing.
Yeah, you can get them in Boots now.
Cool, we'll leave those in the show notes. What is your go-to everyday makeup look?
For me, personally, okay, so primer, and then I use the IT Cosmetics, what's it called again? Your Skin But Better.
Okay,
the
cool.
The CC cream,
yes.
And
that's,
again, such a popular question, like what shade do you use? I think because you can't get it everywhere. Some Boots do sell it. I use shade light medium, and it's got an SPF of 50 in it, and it's got serums and primers in it. So it's just like everything in one.
Yeah.
I use Anastasia Beverly Hills for my brows.
Okay.
And then for my eyelids, I just use, there's a shade by Armani Beauty, and it's called Eyes to Kill Stella Shade 5. And it's like a kind of oyster shell pink. So just a tiny bit of that on the eyelid. Always loads of mascara. What mascara do you use?
Same. I'm like
obsessed.
So everything you just said, yes. I'm like all about brows and mascara. Currently, I'm on NARS Climax mascara.
Same.
I think it's good. It's a bit dramatic, but I do the same mascara for day and night. Like
I just want more volume. I can't have a less lash in the day. It feels so weird.
Yeah, I'm so with you.
Mascara is my number one thing.
Yeah.
So it'd be either Superhero from IT Cosmetics or the NARS Climax or In Extreme Dimension from MAC. And those are my three. But there's also a drugstore one that I'm obsessed with, which is £7. And it's called Unlimited Lash by L'Oreal.
Oh.
And it's honestly the same impact as those other three.
Okay.
But a third of the price or half the price.
I need to try this immediately.
Some drugstore products I get sent, I am literally like, we need to get this out there because there's so many beautiful products. Compared to when I was growing up and it was all like drying or the shade range was just terrible.
Right.
Now, Rimmel do like amazing palettes of like 15, which is similar to the Urban Decay ones. But they're like $7.99.
Urban Decay makes a great mascara. I forget the name of it. But they have two really good ones.
I've tried one as well. I can't remember the name.
Yeah, we'll look them up and leave
next
them.
Next level. They're in my kit. The Urban Decay Naked Palettes, Naked Heat, Naked Cherry. Because no one else is doing those burgundy shades. I keep both of those in my kit. So they're also an amazing makeup artist brand.
Okay.
Urban Decay.
Good to know. And then with mascara, do you tend to layer or do you sort of...
I spend the longest... like on my foundation and my lashes. So I spend ages building them up, leave it for a minute and then go back in.
Okay.
And I do every single lash, the outer ones, the inner corner, bottom lashes, the lot.
Okay. And then I know you said Bioderma, which is definitely a drugstore product, but are there any other like diehard drugstore products that are in your kit?
Yes.
We'll call it?
So Healthy Mix concealer and foundation from Bourjois. Foundation is... $11.99 and the concealer is $9.99 and they look and feel very similar to either Face and Body from MAC or the Light Wonder from Charlotte Tilbury, which is like really sheer, like real skin vibes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so good for money. I'm like, I love them.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And then on the other side of the spectrum, best luxury product or products. You can name more than one.
Okay, so Tom Ford have an amazing bronzer and contour and kind of like highlight palette, and it's all cream. And so you can literally just give your skin, use your fingertips and just kind of push it into the skin. It looks so authentic. Also, I love the Clé de Peau foundations, which are... I think they're about £100 a foundation, or they're like £80. And I have like a few of them in my kit, but there's something about that texture, which is so, it's amazing for like beautiful models backstage.
Okay.
I've tried it on myself, but I need a bit more coverage than that. Oh, it's just like so velvet, stunning, really sheer.
Okay.
I do love like YSL products. I feel like when they turn up or when I buy them, they just look so, they look so luxurious on my dressing table. I like things that look good. Like packaging is like my number one thing. Yeah. And as soon as something starts to rub off, there's no way to be seen on any flat lays or any product shots of mine. I always want it to look new and crisp.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, like how do you say it? Touche-éclat?
Touche-éclat,
yes. Okay. That's like a YSL. Okay, and is it a highlighter? Is it a concealer? Like what is it?
It's a highlighter. Okay. And I think back in the like 90s when it first came out, people were using it as a concealer.
Okay.
It's meant to be used like down the side of your mouth, like in your kind of smile lines, under your eyebrows. It's meant to like lift those areas, your higher planes, and kind of like reverse any lines that are kind of going in. So those smile lines, whereas people use it under their eyes and you can instantly see in photographs that they've got that under their eyes, kind of that panda effect.
Yep.
So I kind of steer away from, you know, I'm trying to help people and sort of educate. So look, it's meant to be for this. Use concealer under your eyes and then use Touche-éclat on top if you need to.
Tutorial idea for you.
Actually, yes, good idea. Yes. Okay, it's on the list.
And then so with putting foundation on, CC cream, whatever, do you tend to use your fingertips or a beauty blender, or does it really depend on the product?
It depends on the product, but I do like to use brushes and I use my Kitco brushes all the time, MAC brushes, and there's a company called Zoeva and they are, I think they're a German brand, and they are so, like the quality is amazing and they're really good value for money.
Okay.
And then beauty blenders are just so quick and easy. I've got like three rolling around in my makeup bag.
I love them and I'm always buying more. Like I tend to buy them in batch and I go through them so quickly.
I know, I find them in random places, like my underwear drawer and in the bathroom. I'm like, well, how did this get here? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But they're just like rolling around everywhere, little pink ones.
Anyone that doesn't use them, I'm like, you need one immediately.
You need to try it because it's only, they've been out maybe like 3 years. And when they came in, everyone was just going mad for them. They're so good.
Yeah, yeah. Are you a Sephora girl? Because they don't have Sephora here.
Well, I went to New York a few weeks ago with Estee Lauder and I was in Sephora for 6 hours. That's a bit of an exaggeration.
I love it. But I'm not surprised to hear that.
I went out and got a coffee, like, a drink and came back. Went and got like, I actually went to McDonald's and came back.
Oh,
I was jet lagged. I thought, right, go and get a little cheeseburger.
But
then
it's
come
the Mecca
back in.
And I can't believe they haven't opened here yet.
They haven't got Mecca here. I'm dying to go to Mecca.
It's amazing.
Have you been?
No.
Oh my God, I really want to go. I really want to go. Like I keep reading about it.
Yeah.
And it's meant to be like Sephora, but almost even bougier.
Oh my God.
With more brands. Yeah. More things going on.
Oh my
gosh. I do love Sephora, but I feel like when I was in there, it was so busy and all the testers were quite grimy. I felt like I wanted to almost get new ones out to try, but then obviously that kind of defeats the whole thing. They are testers, but everything had been so worn because it was that busy in there. This is the one on Times Square.
Oh God.
So can
that
you imagine
like
a
nightmare.
Hectic.
Do you get back to New York often or not really?
I'm hopefully going to go quite a lot over the next few months with Estee Lauder, yeah.
Okay,
bits, bits
amazing.
And pieces coming up, yeah.
So nice.
Yeah, nice.
Okay, so kind of wrapping up. So what are you seeing for beauty trends for spring, summer? I know I'm getting really excited about like just like new makeup and refreshing my looks and all of that. Like what are you excited about?
I think we're going to see a lot more color this year, like pastels and maybe glossy colors on the eyelids, like a bit more freedom with color. I think people are much more experimental now, and especially with Instagram and the tutorials on how to do it.
Right.
Because with the Naked Cherry palette, when it first came out, it was like, well, how am I going to wear this? Now everyone's just banging out like a pink eye, like a burgundy eye, do you know? Like I think it's going to be lots of like mint greens, lavenders, maybe some lemony sort of colors on the eyes.
Okay.
With like a nude lip or just a gloss on the lips.
Okay.
So and spring colors, like ice cream shade colors for the face.
Pastels.
Pastels.
Pastel everything.
Like Liberty flowers, like all over your face.
Okay. So for someone that say maybe hasn't really experimented with color and they want to maybe like do something different for daytime, like how do you recommend they do that? Do they keep face simple and
everything
just do
simple.
A shadow? Like
just a shadow. It could just even just be like a purple liner.
Okay.
It could be something that's just got a bit of color in it, but take everything else down a notch.
Okay.
Don't have like the blush, a bright lip and then a purple eye because it's just, there's too much going on.
Yep.
To keep it modern, less is more.
Okay.
Stick to like a nice skin, a nice, lovely groomed brow, and then make your color your focus.
I love that tip. I'm all about the minimal.
Next time I see you,
you'll
be like, babes, got my yellow eye on, babe.
Yes. Look at my mint green inspired eyeshadow. So do you have any exciting projects coming up that you want to share or anything content-wise that you're working on?
I'm actually going to be doing lots of vegan tutorials coming up because I keep getting lots of like, you know, what products are cruelty-free, but also what are completely vegan products?
Yep.
So I'm going to be doing like putting a poll onto my Instagram. Would you prefer to see a drugstore vegan or glam vegan? I'm almost like putting it out there to people that they can decide what they want to see from my feed.
Definitely.
Rather than me just pushing out looks that I think people want to see.
Definitely.
Actually do a poll a week before and then create the looks based on that.
Honestly, we should all be doing that. It's just like, get the feedback,
find out
what people want to see.
It's quite surprising sometimes when you put two lipsticks, they're obviously going to go for this one.
Yep.
And they pick the other one. Yep. So it's like,
okay, cool. I love that. That's so good. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what else you're going to come up with.
I want to do your makeup
tutorials.
One day. I'm looking at you as we're talking.
Yes.
I just want to do your makeup.
Yes, let's do it. We'll do it. And we'll
do some sort of stories thing or live.
Yeah. Perfect. Exciting. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming
on. Thanks for having me.
Where can everyone find you and follow you? Website, Instagram, whatever.
My Instagram is at ShareWebMakeup. And my website is shareweb.co.uk.
Perfect. Amazing. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on iTunes. And we'll see you guys later.
See you later.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.